Hi, friends. I'm Kara Kay, and this is the Asking for a Friend podcast, a show for the woman who has questions about herself, the church, and the world. We are all asking hard questions that affect us as women in the culture that surrounds us, and we are looking for a safe place to ask them. But don't worry, I know you're only asking for a friend. All right, friends, welcome to another episode of Asking for a Friend. I am sitting down today with Kate Moorman. She is a speaker, a popular relationship coach, which I want to chat about because I'm super interested in what this is. And she hosts a dating podcast. So she helps lots of men and women through their journey and their conversation and through the conversations on her podcast. And she has a new book coming out called Thanks for Rejecting Me, which when I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, I have to have her on the show. This sounds amazing. So Kate, welcome. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks, Kara Kay. I'm so excited to be here. I love the wallpaper in your background.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody can't see it, but it's my favorite. I love it so much.
It makes me happy. It's florally, if you guys didn't know, and the cover of my book actually has florals on it too. So I'm a big floral person.
Which is funny because I'm not a huge floral person, but then I find myself always getting floral stuff. I don't know why. And so maybe I really am. Maybe I am a
girl. It's fine. I mean, I lived in Paris back in the day and then New York. Okay. And I thought like I used to not be a black person. Then I became a black person. Like I'm okay. All black, everything.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not a pink person. I don't do pink.
Right.
And now like I have pink everything. So, you know,
we really do. Okay. I have to hear, tell me about what you do. Tell me about dating coaching. I did not know this was a thing.
Yes. So one of the biggest areas that we struggle within our lives is relationships. So that's
Absolutely.
What relationship coaching, dating coaching is. And so, I get the honor and joy to serve people in that way. When we do relationship coaching, the way I do it, I'm not just Will Smith Hitch, you know, trying to get everybody on a date.
The funny thing is that's what I thought
right?
when I read that about you. I was like, oh my gosh, she's like a real life Hitch.
Right. Well, and some people do it that way, but I take a little more of a holistic approach because I want to talk with my clients about your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, and then your relationship with others, which includes dating.
But
we can't just talk about dating without the other two, because when I'm like, okay, put yourself out there, go do it. Just drop the hanky, talk to that guy that you are flirting with or that you want to flirt with, or you think is so cute. They're like, oh, I can't. All these self-limiting beliefs, all these things about themselves. So we need to address your relationship with yourself, your relationship with God. If you're mad at God because you're still single in your 30s, like we need to talk about those things before we even talk about putting yourself out there, meeting someone new and practicing all those fun dating things.
I love it. Okay. So do you have like a counseling degree? How do you become a dating coach?
Yeah. No, I am not a therapist. It's different.
It's a different type of thing. Okay.
It's like a life coach sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Certifications for that, but it's different than, so I do not have a degree in theology or, in psychology. So life coaching has become a thing over the last few years.
It's just
kind of a unique sect. So
really
I always tell people, if you come to me, this is not a replacement for therapy. Mm-hmm. I am not a therapist and I know a lot about therapy. I have gone to lots of it. I read books about it all the time. I can help you with tools, but we mainly focus on forward facing, future visionary. What's the next year of your life going to look like? How can I help come alongside of you in the area of relationships?
Yeah.
And therapists do a lot of like, let's look at what happened in the past.
Right.
From that, dive through it. And there's some layers of overlap, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But mine is mainly, let's talk about the vision forward, create that vision plan, and then figure out how we're going to get there for you.
So cool. I learned something new today. I love that. I actually sat down with a friend recently that she's a life coach, and she was like, I want to practice and do a session with you. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I need to have a life coach all the time.
Yes, seriously.
It's so great. So, okay, let's dive into this conversation. What does it look like to be rejected? How can we overcome some of those things and, you know, really reckon with those feelings of rejection? So being a dating coach, I'm sure a lot of what you deal with is heartbreak. Mm-hmm. How does that look in the form of rejection? And how does heartbreak really make us into who we are and transform us?
Yeah. So quick backstory. I wrote, "Thank you for rejecting me," because I've been rejected countless times, you know? And so my story has a lot to do with dating, being invested in men, putting my identity in men and relationships, and being rejected a lot along the way and rejecting others, but rejecting people not only in relationships, but feeling rejected through family, through abandonment, through betrayal, through not fitting in, through feeling misunderstood, through being uninvited, through closed doors and opportunities. Rejection comes in many forms. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about, you know, rejection and heartbreak, it seems like maybe one of the most obvious kinds of rejection, especially when we're talking about dating. Mm-hmm. And so with heartbreak, the funny part is I, you know, wrote this book on rejection. Then I got rejected, girl. I got broken up with in late 2020, and it was a serious relationship. Mm-hmm. So I really work with my clients and people in our community to say, I think what is unique about what I'm able to provide is that I will suggest and share the tools that I've learned, but I'm not here to say that the fear of rejection will never be in your head ever again, that you will be immune to rejection, or that rejection won't hurt when it does happen, because that's just false information. I say it in chapter one of my book, or the introduction. I'm like, here's the Band-Aid that we're going to rip off. You can't, there is no magic cure or vaccine, speaking of COVID, or rejection. Okay. Like there isn't, we will always experience it.
Right.
So
right.
The fear of rejection, I believe fear can be a great indicator for a lot of things. If we really fear rejection, there's something that fear is trying to teach us, which is going under the layers to say, okay, are there past things here that have created this fear that I have to heal from and address? Because when fear dictates our life, it's like we're that driver that is gripping the wheel that is like, I don't know, like I might get in a car accident. I'm so afraid. And then you probably get in a car accident.
Yeah.
Or you never go to where you're supposed to go because you're so afraid of going there.
Yeah.
And so we have to address what are the things that have happened in your past that have really made this fear of rejection crippling so that you're not stepping out there again. But if you have fear of rejection and currently, that's totally normal. I would just say, listen to it and say, thank you for trying to protect me. I'm not choosing to be defined by you. So I'm going to keep moving forward. When it comes to heartbreak specifically, though, it's hard. It's messy. There's no one-step process. And my biggest piece of advice, if I just give one right now, is that you have to feel the pain to heal the pain. And which means going to the depths of your grief, allowing all the grief to happen to you. There's 5 stages of grief, and not being afraid of that, and knowing also that it's totally normal, and that even if you do that, you dive right into it. It doesn't mean that like, oh, I'm going to dive right into it for these first few weeks and then I'm going to be over it. Like it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Yeah.
Rising the beauty from the ashes is part of the journey of experiencing the pain and allowing yourself to give you access to further knowledge about yourself, knowledge about God, and deeper emotions. I believe within the greatest pain and sorrow, we also can have the ability to tap into the greatest depths of joy.
Yes.
And so there really is a lot of beauty that comes through rejection. Even though if you just went through one right now, I'm not going to be like, yay, you went through a rejection. Like that's not how I approach it, you know, when it first hits you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It's interesting. I haven't shared this story openly, so I'll tell it a little bit today. So last year, 2020, was a big year of rejection for me in many ways, which it was a hard year for everybody, obviously. Yeah. You don't have to say that. But I got a lot of rejection professionally, which I hadn't really experienced yet. And it was good. It was good in the moment, like, oh, it hurts so good kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's still like, ugh, I'm mad. Like I was mad. Like, why are these things not working out that are supposed to? Because here's my 5-year plan. But if I'm getting this rejection, that's putting a pause in my 5-year plan. And the great thing about that season of rejection is that it allowed me to listen to God in a different way. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, that's what you thought you had for yourself. That's a good thing, but I have something better. And here's what I want you to do. And here's how I want to use you. And by having that rejection, it allowed this door to open up that I never would have imagined. Mm-hmm. And so now looking back, it's like, wow, I'm so grateful that that rejection happened, because now I'm getting to do this thing. And so it's hard. I mean, it's hard, obviously, in the moment that you're like, none of that makes sense. But on the other side, whether it's relationships or professionally or, you know, whatever, even like personally, we can always look back, you know, and think, oh, well, I'm glad that happened.
Yes. What you're bringing up for me just reminds me, this, my podcast, Heart of Dating, what I do now, was all started in the wake of a heartbreak.
Okay.
And I never thought that that heartbreak would happen. It's chapter 5 of my book. Mm-hmm. And this was a few years ago, different from the heartbreak last year.
Yes.
I still go through it.
Yay.
But it, you know, I don't actually think that if I had, I believe that if I hadn't been broken up with, I probably never would have started my podcast, which led me to doing all the things I do today. Yeah. I really just don't believe, because the reason why I started my podcast is because I was in this place of processing so many things relationally and processing how to do relationships better. And I had time and space because I wasn't in the relationship. And I believe if I just married that guy, I probably just would have continued on being an entrepreneur in a different way. And so I didn't see it at the time. That, you know, but years later, I look back and I'm like, wow, that was redeemed. Here's one thing I will suggest for the listeners, and what's helped me: when you're in the first initial wake of a rejection, whatever kind, heartbreak, a work, like closed door, whatever it is, I encourage you, when you've been hit down, do not allow your mind as best as you can to go to, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Because when we are trying to understand the why, we're doing it out of a sense of, we want control. We want to control. Yes. We want to know. And that helps me feel like I'm in control and I have stability, personally. But what it also does is it goes into a downward spiral of these negative thoughts about ourselves, about God, about our lives. And usually what that does is it makes us stuck in that wake of rejection and in those lies, if we focus on the why. So instead of, why did this happen, I'm going to immediately after rejection focus on, whew, I don't get the why, not right now. Yeah. So I'm going to focus on what to do to take each step forward day by day. I don't know what next month holds, next 6 months, next year. What can I do to move forward just today? And through time, I will say the caveat is, through time, there is always a place to reflect. Mm-hmm. And eventually you want to ask why in some ways when you are strong and ready for it, because there could be lessons for you to learn, ownership for you to take. Mm-hmm. But in the immediate throes of rejection, the last thing for anybody to do is ask, why did this happen? Oh my gosh, why?
That's good. That's good. I am one of those people. I'm an Enneagram 1. So I'm like, I need control. I need to like have my hand on everything. And so when I get rejected, it's like, I need to like process. I need to say, well, this is exactly why this happened. And so that is really helpful to consider a new way. Because now I can look back at 6 months ago when I had this rejection and go, this is exactly why God was doing that. And I'm so grateful. But in that moment, I was trying to, I was trying to say, well, God's doing this because X, Y, Z. No, I didn't have any idea. I was just mad. And so now it's like, okay, I'm so glad that I allowed myself to grieve and be upset about the thing and then move forward in what is next. Okay. Something you said about, and now I forgot exactly what you said, but you were talking about like yourself. And I think a lot of what we think rejection has to come from other people.
Yeah.
But what about the rejection for ourselves?
Man, girl, that is it. So the book actually starts with a few ways in which we self-reject. And that's probably the number one way rejection, the only way we can control rejection is how we self-reject. We cannot control rejection in the way that external rejections. We just have no control over what's going to happen. 2020, perfect year of we have no control. Yes. We have to live in the obscurity of what's going on because we just have no idea.
Right.
But self-rejections are... I believe we reject ourselves before others even have the chance. Mm-hmm. And some of the biggest ways we do that, especially for women, is through body image and shaming ourselves and our appearance. And then even deeper than that, just self-hatred, the ways we hate ourselves, how poorly we speak to ourselves. This has been said before, but I mean, my goodness, we are our own worst bullies. Like internally, we say things to ourselves that we would never accept from another person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I would, if I told somebody, if I was a friend to you and I was like, girl, that makes you look fat. You're not that smart.
I'd be like bye.
You'd be like, girl, bye. Like, you know, but we are internally, when we put on an outfit or we are bloated that week, we're telling ourselves, you look terrible. You look fat. Your face is rounder. You're this, that, and the other. You have cellulite. You shouldn't have eaten that pizza. Should. You shouldn't do this. You should not do that. And we're really mean to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when it comes to dating, this conversation of dating, what I often see in men and in, or in women and in men, I should say, but I'll just speak to the women, is that they're disqualifying themselves from ever putting themselves out there. Yeah. Now I'm in the firm belief, Ruth proposed to Boaz. I absolutely believe that women don't have to propose to men, but women can put themselves out there with guys. And I think so many women, especially Christian women, are like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I can't do that. Like, and when it comes down to the core of it, they don't feel like they have something to offer. They don't feel like confident in what their motive, like, or their approach. Mm-hmm. They don't feel confident in what, in how to talk to a guy, if I'm being honest. And, or their appearance, or so they're telling themselves all these things. He's not going to think I'm interesting or pretty or this, that, and the other. And it stops them from putting themselves out there. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that putting yourself out there might lead to a rejection.
Right.
And if you put yourself out there, when you still believe a ton of self-limiting beliefs, then rejection will land on you even worse. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, we have to work through those self-limiting beliefs and the ways we reject ourselves first before anything else.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all about practical.
Yeah.
Give us some steps. How can we, maybe specifically about the self-rejection, because I think that that is huge. How can we move forward in purpose when we are struggling with that rejection?
Yeah, I think I often see, I talk about this in chapter 6 of my book, but the victim belief system, it's, we often end up living in this victim cycle. Well, I'm never going to be chosen. I'm never going to be this. My body's never going to be enough. I'm just never going to be pretty, or nobody's going to do this, that, and the other for me.
Right.
And it's a victim belief system. And I want to pop that bubble to say, nobody is going to ever fill you in the ways that you're desiring. If that's what you believe, like nobody can make you feel happy for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So we have to break that victim belief system and say, you know what? I believe these things and they're limiting my life. They are leading me to scarcity mentalities. They are not serving me well. They are honestly toxic in my brain. And so first recognize that you might be living in a victim belief system. Mm-hmm. What are the beliefs that you are currently making up your internal framework? And this is where we have to go in without shame, but rather compassion to say, what are those limiting beliefs that I see about myself? Once you identify them, go down into the layer. Where did that come from? So maybe the limiting belief is I feel unworthy. Okay. That's a big one. So what underneath that led to you feeling unworthy? Maybe it's one big thing. Maybe it's a slew of things. We have to identify what led you there because you have to have a deep understanding for how you got there so that then you can rewire it. So now once you understand, okay, I'm seeing that the unworthiness came through of layers of just feeling like I had to perform and then be declined by guys or turned down by guys and broken up with by guys. And it just made me feel like no matter how much I perform, I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to be worthy of them actually choosing me. So now that I see that belief system, now I look at the word of God and I look at truth in life that I know to be true. And how do I want to rewire that? Because oftentimes we know God's word, we know God loves us in our heads, but we don't connect that belief through to, from our head to our heart. Right. And we're not walking out in that. So it's that, you know, taking every thought captive. Mm-hmm. This is how we actually practically do it. And so first thing, do this in a major way, like one time where you're sitting down, like recognizing your victim belief system mentalities or your self-limiting beliefs. Where are they coming from? How do you, what are the truths actually? What does God really say about your worthiness or your lovability? Start looking, finding anywhere in the Bible where it talks about that. Now that we have that framework, okay, we have to practice it out. That's like a one-step thing. It's not over. You doing it once doesn't mean it's changed, because it takes 21 days to create a new long-term memory, 63 days to actually create a true habit in your life. So if you really want to conquer some of these beliefs, you have to recognize them and then work to rewire them. It's a practical process. And here's the thing. I wouldn't try to tackle all of them at once. You know, take one of the biggest ones that's plaguing you and try to really focus in on this one. I'm really struggling with feeling that I'm beautiful. I'm really struggling with feeling like I am worthy. I'm really struggling feeling confident about just the woman that I am. Whatever it is, I feel unconfident. So take one of those belief systems and really work on that for 21 days up to 63 days. Other practical things, girl, you just have to keep accountable to other people.
Yeah.
So you have to let other people in on this process. Therapist is great, but also friends. Like, tell your friends, hey, this is a belief system that's come up for me. It's really not serving me in my life, and I want to transform it. Would you do me a favor and check in on me with this? And if you hear me kind of like going down the path of speaking this way about myself, call me out. You have permission. Yeah. I need accountability because this is really deeply rooted. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, last like kind of thing here, be aware of any media, anything, any friendships, who is reinforcing that belief system. Mm-hmm. I said this to someone recently, but you know, you may be following a girl on Instagram who is doing nothing wrong and is just beautiful and skinny and has a great life. But you are finding yourself comparing your body to her body consistently. So while you're working through that belief system, maybe you unfollow her or maybe you mute her just right now, because as you're working to rewire, it's like an alcoholic. I'm going to take it extreme. It's like an alcoholic trying to wean off of an addiction. Saying to an alcoholic or an alcoholic saying, I'm trying to work on this, but every night I'm going to go to the bar and watch other people drink. No person in the world is going to be strong enough to be like, but I can do it even with all these temptations in my face. No, eventually they'll probably crack and probably drink. So what an alcoholic has to do in this process is starve themselves of any temptations, anything that leads them back to be wanting and desiring that thing. And for you with the negative belief system, starve yourself of anything that's leading you to believe that same belief. And you have to, you are the only one that knows what that is. Mm-hmm. So you got to take ownership of it, you know?
Yeah. There was a woman that I followed on Instagram and I struggled so much with her. Like, she was wonderful.
Yeah.
But every time I would just get frustrated and upset. And I realized that it was just this comparison, like, she was where I wanted to be and she was doing, she was getting some of the opportunities that I wanted. And this was years and years ago. And so I muted her for a while, didn't look at her stuff. And now as I worked through those things, now I'm to a place that I can be friends with her and be grateful for what God's doing in her life and in mine in different ways. And that I'm not going to look like her. I'm not going to, my ministry is not going to look like her. My books aren't going to look like hers, all of these things. And so, I cannot say that enough, how important it is to let God transform your heart in those situations, because it's not about the other person. It's about what's going on in your own heart.
Yes. It's not you, it's me, but yes, really,
exactly.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me, where did you find God in the midst of some of your deepest rejections?
Yeah. So I will use my last rejection as an example. Okay. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
The breakup happened 3 days before going on a trip to see our families. Mm-hmm. It was like a big step in the relationship and we broke up. And so I ended up using the time I had off for work to go on a trip. I went to Mexico by myself.
Nice. And
honestly, I highly recommend everybody go to Tulum. It's amazing. Okay.
Oh man, that's been on my list. I got to go.
Oh, it's
I
so
need
good.
To go there.
Go to Sanara. It's my okay. favorite hotel. Shout out to Sanara. They're incredible. I love the staff. So I went there and I think the way God has showed up for me is for me knowing that I am not alone through everything. Mm-hmm. But in order to know that I'm not alone, I have to invite him in because for me, it's like I have to, and what I do and what I've practiced and tried to practice at least is something called like praying my tears, which means like there was one day I remember there was a hurricane literally and the trees were going crazy. And I felt literally like it was a metaphor for my life where I was like, this feels like what my life is like, or my internal state feels so chaotic. I found myself in my hotel room on the floor, weeping, ugly, crying, screaming, yelling, saying some choice words and just asking God, like, what in the world, you know, with a lot of other terminology, I'm like, what is happening? And just literally snot everywhere. And just inviting him in, being like, this is so hard for me. Why did you do this again? Like, I thought that this was my redemption story, and really just inviting him into every tender place. And not just saying, you are so good, God, I know you're going to be good, but also lamenting and saying, you kind of suck right now. Or, I don't get it, you know? And so really just inviting him into the whole process of grief. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were days that I bargained with God. I was like, can you just like have him change his mind? That'd be great.
Thanks. That would be awesome.
And so inviting him to every stage, praying your tears. Tim Keller actually has a great sermon called Pray Your Tears. And so good. It just practically, you have to invite him into every single moment. And my other biggest thing is just asking God each day, each morning for the grace just to handle that day.
Yeah.
I don't need to know tomorrow, next week, next month, no idea. Just God, give me the grace just for today and help me to fix my eyes just on today. Because when you are in the midst of chaos and a bomb exploded, like you just need to take each and every one step ahead of the other. And that's all you can do. And that's actually okay. Because when you try to look too far ahead, you get overwhelmed and you can even worse. And you're like, but I'm 30 something and I have to have kids or I want to have kids. And what is my biological clock and blah, blah, blah. And then it goes downward spiral. And I'm like in a very bad place after
Yep. Would you leave just one word of encouragement to everybody who's listening, who's questioning maybe why God has let them experience the rejection they're facing?
Yeah, man, that's so good. I'll just leave them with a breath prayer that, I say to myself, in the moments that I'm fearful, the moments I feel that fear creeping in, the moments that I'm stepping out to do something new where I feel courageous. And what I say to myself is nothing more, nothing less, just as you are. And that's exactly what I've learned throughout all of my life rejections, that it takes nothing more and nothing less. I don't have to be more. I don't have to be less. I just am exactly how I am. Just show up exactly as you are, accepted, loved, and you are the first person to accept yourself in your life. And so that's what I would leave with everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing so openly your story. Yeah. Would you tell everybody where they can find your podcast, your book?
Yeah, girl. Come over on the gram, Kaitness, KAITNESS, Heart of Dating on Instagram, podcast, everything is Heart of Dating. My book, thankyouforrejectingme.com, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's like going to be everywhere. So yay.
Awesome. Well, I will put links to all that in the show notes so everybody can find you. But thank you so much. Thank you for this great conversation and encouragement.
Thank you, Kara Kay. This is awesome, girl.
I'm Kara Kay James, and you've just listened to the Asking for a Friend podcast. I hope you are inspired and encouraged by these conversations to step out of the status quo and engage in conversations that matter. You can find the show notes for this episode and subscribe at KaraKJames.com/podcast. I also love connecting with you on Instagram and Facebook. I am at KaraK.James. You can also subscribe to my newsletter at KaraKJames.com/newsletter. This podcast is meant to provide you with a safe space to work through the questions you have about yourself, the church, and the world around you. Please never hesitate to reach out to me if you need a safe place to land. Thanks for listening, and keep asking questions for a friend.